God, our Father, thank you that we have that promise. We are going to see a victory. Thank you for the year that is now behind us and for the year of blessing and provisions that it was. Thank you for the memories made and the opportunities to serve you. Lord, thank you for the fresh new year ahead of us, for its promise, for its wonder. And Lord, as we draw this year to a close, may we be reminded that you are still at work in our lives. That even while we might see things as incomplete, that you are still in complete control. May we trust in your working all things according to the counsel of your own will. Father, we are excited to see what you do in the year 2020. There are things in our plan for this year, but yours is the one we are truly excited for. As a church, we are adopting a new vision, a new logo. We're seeing where you are taking us in the future. We know we will part with some old friends this year, but greet new friends that you bring our way. We see our old familiar ministries that we have done, and we'll attempt new ones for your glory. And Lord, even as a country, we're facing an election. We are seeing some changes that are coming. Lord, there is so much on the horizon of this year. Let us see you through it all in 2020. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Oh, man, every year's end leaves something left undone, doesn't it? If you look at 2019, there were like 50,000 things I wanted to do, and maybe five I got done. There were projects unfinished, books unread, dreams unfulfilled, personal growth goals left unmet, and there is so much left unfinished of 2019. At the same time, every new year brings with it new promise, new hope for the future. It's full of potential. My prayer for 2020, for grace, is the same as Paul prayed for the church in Thessalonica. And as he wrote his letter to them, he was wrapping it up with one final prayer, and we're going to look at that today, and it's just two verses. So would you stand with me as we read this passage? The text is going to be up on the screen for you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Thank you. You may be seated. Paul is giving this prayer to a church body that he had led for some time, and it was a prayer of anticipation, a prayer for something that has not happened yet. This prayer is looking forward to a day when this will happen, and we can be certain it hasn't happened yet for us with just a little bit of honest self-examination. We know we haven't measured up. We have not reached the purity and holiness God has in store for us. And if we were to be honest with each other, we would have to admit that we all feel pretty far from blameless. And the reality is we are all works in progress. That is the beauty of something that we call sanctification. That's what Paul is talking about here. It is God working in our lives to bring us to who he intends us to be, to make us to be like him. And the way Paul puts it here is almost like the hope and prayer of a parent. He has written letters to the church, spent time with them, teaching them about Christ and mentoring them in the faith, but he is still offering this prayer. And we could almost paraphrase it like this: God, I've done my best. I've shown these people your ways the best I know how. I've even shown it in my own life. But now you have to take over. Because unless you help them, they aren't going to turn out right. That's essentially what Paul is saying here. And he had put a lot of work and his life into the believers in Thessalonica. He felt like a parent would with their child. They have devoted so much time and energy to their child that they want them to succeed, to see them become who they were meant to be. But as much as Paul or anybody else had invested in these people, he recognized there was a greater investment made by God, who gave them his son. God is going to ensure that his investment is not lost, Because as much as we want our investment in each other or in others to not be lost, our investment is so small compared to what God has done. See, sanctification is God's commitment to us. We're going to talk about what exactly that means in a moment, if that's a word you're not familiar with. But it is first and foremost a promise from God that we are going to make it. It is a project that will be completed, that He will personally see to it. But we're not finished yet. We're not finished, and that's why we pray and seek God. Someday we will be finished. That's what sanctification means. Finished, done, as it should be. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians is really a short course on sanctification. In these two verses, we have the five A's that explain what sanctification means. We're going to see the actor, the aim, the arena, the arrival, and the assurance of sanctification. And he starts off with very first, the actor. In verse 23, the very beginning, he says, "Now may the God of peace, the God of peace himself." He's using redundancy there. He could have just said, "Now may God." He said, "May the God of peace himself." He is drawing our focus to the actor of sanctification. Who is doing this? Is it us? No, it is God himself. He's the only answer for all the shortcomings we see in ourselves. Only God himself can make us better. We try our best. We can attend church regularly. We can memorize scripture. We can sing the songs and even pray. But unless God is doing a work in us, the rest of our work is useless. Unless God is doing a work in us, the rest of our works are useless. God is the author and source of any spiritual growth. And it's so easy for us to forget that. Because we talk about do the right things and we follow these rules and, you know, five easy steps to being a good Christian. The reality is, unless God is doing a work in you, there is nothing that is going to happen. By the way, if you are seeking growth, that's, by the way, also God working in you. See, it's easy in our battle against sin and our journey towards righteousness to try to crawl into a corner and try to get better on our own strength and effort and then step out and say, "Look how nice I look, God. I did it all by myself." And the reality is God did not design us or ever intend for us to do this on our own. We've missed the fact that without God, all we've done is mess up the stuff he gave us in the first place. Remember what Jesus said in John 15:5, "Without me, you can do nothing." God does not intend for you to do this on your own. To draw us away from our pitiful efforts at moral betterment and self-improvement, Paul points us to the right direction of the person doing the work and simply says, God himself, the God of peace. Sanctification starts with God. And if it doesn't start there, you haven't really started at all. That is the actor behind it all. Then Paul goes on to tell us our aim. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctification means being set apart. It means being designated for a particular use. We are set apart from sin, but also set apart to God for him to be able to use us. That's what sanctification means. It means separate. Being set apart. And while perfection, this idea that we have in our mind of what it means to arrive at moral perfection or goodness, will not occur until believers are in heaven. That is an eternal state, something that we are looking forward to, that will be once and done. But sanctification, however, is the process of moving toward that goal, of daily becoming more like Christ, one step at a time. And faith permeating our believer's life so that our whole being is becoming more and more under God's control and becoming more like Christ. That is the goal God has given to us, to be set apart completely from sin, to be available for his use perfectly and completely. But we know we fall short. When the church father John Calvin wrote about this, he wrote that God calls for the complete renovation of man. That word renovation. Have you ever watched a renovation show like Fixer Upper or Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, something like that? You know full well it took longer than an hour or two to make that house look that way, right? You know that they had all sorts of hiccups and hang-ups. They had a cracked foundation or a rotting, load-bearing wall that, and that usually shows up right in the middle of the episode, like right before a commercial break, so that way you have to watch the rest of the episode to see how are Chip and Joanna going to overcome this one? They keep you hooked. You know it took days, months, in reality probably years in some cases, to get that tar paper shack to turn into an open floor plan, split level villa that they have at the end of the show. But listen, it is always taking more work than they expect. And as impressive as it is to renovate a house, can you imagine renovating a human life? That is a task so grand only God would attempt it. Some of us are 30, 50, 80 years into this process, and we aren't done yet. Anybody done with the process? Anybody want to be done with the process? No, I shouldn't ask that one. Because eventually the time does come when God says, I've done all I can do down there. Come on up here where I can do the work and finish it completely under better working conditions. See, we're not finished yet, but we will be. We are not finished yet, but we will be. We're not completely perfect today, but we will be. We're not entirely who we are meant to be today, but we will be. Not yet, but one day. That is our aim. Today we are holy, H-O-L-Y, in some areas, but one day we will be sanctified completely and not just in spots. Paul goes on to show us just how far this reaches. We've seen the actor, it's God. We've seen the aim, completely set apart from sin. Now he shows us the arena, the breadth that God plans to reach. In the second part of verse 23, he says, and may your whole spirit and soul and body. That's the arena. Let me ask you something. Year end's coming, so you've got resolutions in your mind, right? No. My New Year's resolutions is to never make any more New Year's resolutions. But if you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Most of us start on the outside, right? Would you make yourself skinnier, taller, fitter, more muscular, straighter teeth, different hair, actually have hair? If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be? Look, in order to be sanctified completely, God has to work in all areas of your life. Not just the inner person or the outer person. It's the whole person. God is at work in every part of you, setting you completely apart for his use and his blessing. Because we tend to compartmentalize our life, right? Like, oh, God is just changing my heart. Let me ask you, has he changed your body? Now, I'm not talking about jogging for Jesus or divine dieting. But when God is in our life, it changes the way we interact with this thing we call our body. We are now using it, we are free to use it to serve him rather than serving its own desires and cravings. See, being set apart for God encompasses all of who we are, and God didn't accidentally give you a body. It is a part of you. And he intends to use that for his glory too. Now, as hard as it is to change on the outside, it seems infinitely harder to change on the inside sometimes, doesn't it? So maybe you're looking at 2019 and you remember your resolutions of what you were going to change on the inside, and you're looking at yourself going, wow, that didn't happen. Maybe 2020. Okay, it didn't happen in 2019, didn't happen in 2018, didn't happen in 2017. 2020 is not looking that great, is it? If there's anything we know about human nature, it's that people change slowly, if they change at all. Think about the struggles of your own life. What would you change about yourself on the inside if you could? Is it an impatient spirit, a critical tongue, envy of those around you, a spirit of discontentment, lingering resentment, lust you can't seem to conquer, financial mismanagement, a guilty conscience, overbearing stubbornness, a judgmental spirit, a quick temper, a profound discouragement, an inability to appreciate life, an ungrateful spirit, or a disorganized life? Here is the great news of the gospel. We will be changed. We will be changed. The stuff about ourselves that drives us crazy will be gone forever. That is the arena. Every bit of you, God is working on. My prayer in 2020 is that you see it in every fiber of your being, that God is working. But God, Peter here, wow. I'm just going to go through all the apostles in one statement. How about that? Blame it on the Dayquil. Paul here says that we will be changed in every bit of that. He shows us the actor, it is God. He shows us the aim, complete sanctification. He shows us the arena, every section of who we are. But he also shows our arrival at sanctification. He says, may it be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blameless. That's the ultimate goal for our sanctification, is for us to be completely blameless. That is when no one can bring a single accusation against us. Most of us would admit that this couldn't be said of us now, that we're blameless. If nobody else could, we easily could bring charges against ourselves. We are not what we should be, and we know it. We are unfinished, and we sense it. But our hope is coming. Just as we look forward to the promise of a new year, we are anticipating the hope and deliverance that comes when Christ returns. See, we arrive at sanctification when Christ arrives. We arrive at Christ-likeness when Christ comes back. We just celebrated Christmas when Christ came the first time. I think it only fitting that now we celebrate and look forward to the time Christ comes back, the second. Because that is when he finishes his work in us. Because after Christ returns, if God were to ask, does anyone know any reason this person should not be led into my kingdom before a Christian? At that point, there would be a loud silence as no one, not angels, not demons, not saints, not sinners, will ever be able to bring anything against the Lord's elect. Silent, just like this. That is what we are looking forward to. That is when we arrive. We will be like Jesus, perfection completed, project done. I am so anticipating that. He shows us the aim. He shows us the actor. He shows us the arena, he shows us the arrival, and finally he shows us the assurance. Because, okay, these are some grand promises, Paul. What do you got to back this up? The assurance is in verse 24, where he says, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. See, this little phrase is all important. Our entire hope, both in this life and in the life to come, rests on the faithfulness of God. His faithfulness bears the entire weight of our puny efforts of self-improvement. The one who calls you is faithful. The promise comes from God Himself, the author of the plan, the one who accomplished it through the death of His Son, the one who calls His people, and the one who cannot lie. The Bible says of God, God is not a human being that He should lie, or a mortal that He should change His mind. He has promised, and will He not do it? Has He spoken, and will He not fulfill it? You can count on this. But do you know what we are today? We are unfinished children of God. You are a work in process, and so am I. We're all under construction. As we all know, construction is long, loud, noisy, and very messy. That's why most of us can hear the sound of hammering and sawing on the inside of our heart. God never stops His work because there's so much work that needs to be done. But one day, we will look like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Think about the word predestined and take it apart for a second. Pre means before, and destined means where we're going to end up. Even before our spiritual journey started, God made up His mind about our final destination. And one day, we will look like Jesus. That is my hope and prayer for you for 2020. Not just as a pastor, as a brother in Christ who is looking forward to the same destination, that we will be found more like Christ in 2020 than we were in 2019. That God, who is faithful, will do it. In the year 1464, a sculptor named Agostino de Duccio began working on a huge piece of flawed marble. Intending to produce a magnificent sculpture of an Old Testament prophet for a cathedral in Florence, he labored for 2 years and finally stopped because there was a flaw in it that he just couldn't work around. Finally, some years later, another artist took on this stone mound and began working at it, and the same flaw ruined him. He simply couldn't work with it. So he gave up on it. Until finally, nearly 60 years later, a young artist began working with a stone. And he decided to include the flaw in his plan. He was now going to turn that flaw into a stump that would support the leg of his sculpture. And after 4 years of working with this flawed piece of marble, Michelangelo finished his David. It is now known as one of the most majestic and glorious and nearly perfect sculptures in history. And where everybody else saw a flaw, Michelangelo worked and worked and worked. And now people from around the world flood to go see this sculpture. How did he do it? Here's his answer in his own words. In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to the other eyes as mine see it. To say it in more colloquial terms, I chip away anything that doesn't look like David. Now apply this to your spiritual life. All of us are works in progress. We're not finished. We're not glorified, not perfected, not completed. We are all under construction. If you've ever have visited or driven through a construction zone, you know it's noisy and messy. And while the hammering and sawing continues, it's hard to imagine what the final result will be. But God never stops working on us because there's so much work that needs to be done. And yet, I have found that sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. God sets the work aside at the end of the day, picks it up the next morning and goes, who did this? I was done with this section. Who started chipping away here? I had this brilliant idea of what I should be like, God. He patiently will pick up the tools again. See, he's working on a block named Aaron Jeffrey, broken, marred, cracked, stained. And yet each one of them he is using in his final product of a person that will end up looking like his son. And this is the great assurance at the very end of this statement where he says, he will surely do it because God won't give up halfway through a job. Let me say this again. God will not give up halfway through his job of transforming you into who he wants you to be. He's not done. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he starts, he will finish. Those four words at the end are the bedrock of our hope as unfinished people. He will do it. No qualification, no hesitation, no doubt, just four words. He will do it. Not he may do it, not he might do it, not he could do it, not he'll do it if you do your part. Or he'll do it if he feels like it. It's just a simple declarative statement that God will do it, period. Because what matters at the end of all of this is not what I have done for God, but what has God done to me? We are his work in progress. We are under construction. And when we hear the hammering and sawing going on inside, it's just a reminder that we are works in progress. But one day, and I'm looking forward to this, maybe in 2020, we will stand in God's presence. No more construction, no hammering, no sawing, no sanding. We will be finished, completely sanctified. So as we end 2019 and begin 2020. Do you hear the faint sound of hammering and sawing on the inside? When God is finally finished with that work, you'll be like Jesus. Faithful is he who called you, and he will do it. As we stand and sing, I love when God puts songs together perfectly for a closing connects to the sermon. If you're looking back at 2019 and you're like, there's so much left unfinished, awesome. That's God still working on your life. That gives us hope for 2020 and beyond. But if you're looking and saying, yeah, I'm done, I'm finished, let me encourage you. Read back over this. And make this your prayer. Lord, sanctify me completely. Every bit of me, my soul, my spirit, and my body. May this year be the year I see your fingerprints all over everything, of changing me, transforming me, and conforming me into the image that you see whenever you look at this flawed piece of stone. Would you stand with us and sing?
you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. And all I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good.
Sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. God, that is our prayer for this year, that you would make us more like yourself. We surrender ourselves to you that we might be more like you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go, have a happy new year.